I'm excited. How about you? The future that God has and God has prepared for us. His promise is true in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. He said, I have a plan for you. And sometimes I think, we say, God, can you show us a little bit more clearly? How many of you have been in that place? Why don't you just tell me everything from the beginning to the end? It's easier, God. You just give me everything. But God said, I have a plan for you. And my plan for you and my future for you is always what? Good. And here's where we are in our journey for Grace City Church. So last Sunday, I introduced our theme for this year. And our theme is His Heart, Our Heart. It's from David's life, taken from Acts chapter 13, verse 22, where God said that He found a man, David, whose heart is like mine. And so we want to use this theme for the next four Sundays to speak and build on it with our Grace mission statement. We have a mission statement that deals with four W's: worship, work, and weakness. I want to use this four statement the next 4 weeks looking for Psalms that is written by David. So what is our mission statement? Is that we influence by worshiping fervently. If you are here this morning, do you not sense the presence of God? Walking in the Word, and that's when we are preaching the Word, and we always preach nothing but the Word, walking the extra mile and witnessing boldly. So this morning, my sermon is about worshiping God fervently. And my sermon title is A Heart of Worship. God found a man named David whose heart is like mine, a man after God's own heart. He was a man that God liked, God loved, God wanted, and God is pleased with, because David was a worshiper of God. God, who sits in heaven, watched and saw David as a young youth in the field. It could be in the morning, it could be in the afternoon, it could be in the night, because we know that he's one of the Psalms. He saw the stars and the moon. God saw him, and he saw him looking after the sheep, singing praises to God. David is the sweet psalmist. 150 psalms, half of them, 73, is written by him. And this psalm that David wrote is an expression of his life journey. His life, his dealing by God in his heart. And no matter what, you read the psalm that David read and sang, no matter what that took place in his life, no matter what David go through, every psalm that he wrote, he will always end up with what? Worshipped. He will worship God. He will worship God for who he is. First thing we worship God is for who he is. He will worship God for what God has done. And God has done many things for David, and he will worship him for that. And things that he do not understand, things that he is going through, and some of those difficult moments, he will worship God and end up with hope and trust in God. David is a worshiper. In fact, David is the one who changed the landscape of worship in Israel. Before David became king, Israel worship was pretty plain, with very little instrument. But when David became king, he brought in the band, the singers, and he brought in, you know, the 8-string orchestra and the cymbal. And he brought all these things in, and he enhanced worship before the Ark of the Covenant. On one occasion, in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 5, the orchestra grew to 4,000 of them. It's the biggest orchestra you could ever see in our world. 4,000 of them. And the Bible records that those 4,000, they were playing instrument, musical instrument. It's recorded in that verse. David said, these are musical instruments that he himself had made them. Is it not amazing? That this worshiper is so entrenched about worshiping God, he is so caught up about worshiping God, that he recognized that when he worshiped God, it's not confined to time or place, that his worship God is a lifestyle. Whether at the temple, at home, in the palace, in the field, in the wilderness, alone, or with the nation, David openly worshiped God. He's not afraid of what people think or what people say. He just worshiped God. And I tell you, there needs to be such a God consciousness in us that when we come into His presence to worship Him, we don't worry about what people say and think. Say amen. Because sometimes we are so self-conscious than being more God-conscious. And David was the kind of man, he's just a worshiper, he doesn't care, he doesn't think. You know, his worship was so intense that he established the tabernacle of David. You see, David's worship is also very prophetic. He could see what is ahead. In this tabernacle of David, he put singers and musicians and they ministered to God 24 hours, day and night, seven days, you know, non-stop, 365. We just sang the song day and night, night and day, incense arise to you. And that is what David did. He believed that worship should be just continuously. Today, how is it possible? How is it possible today? The heart of worship is lifestyle worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Message Bible put it this way. So here is what I want you to do. This is not doing by yourself. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, as an act of worship. This is what David said, that your life, whatever you do, do it as a what? Do it as a worship to God. When you do as unto God, you are doing as what? Worship. When you are in the office, you are doing your work, and the work that you are doing, you are seeing that, God, I'm putting my effort, I'm putting my time, not just for my boss, but I'm doing as unto you. It becomes what? Worship. David was so prophetic that he established the tabernacle of David, which is totally different from the tabernacle of Moses. Moses' tabernacle, you have the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, and the holy of holy. David saw prophetically that a time will come where God, through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, will remove the veil that separates man and God. We know when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple, which is so thick, cannot be torn by human hand, but it was torn from where? From the top to the bottom. He knew that there will be a time where God will make it that man and woman who believe in Jesus Christ is able to come into His presence freely and worship Him. Hebrews tell us this is the new and the living way. David, his worship foretell and foresee what is to come. God is looking for men and women with a heart of worship like David. Jesus say, but the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who worship Him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we're going to look at Psalm 96, written by David the sweet psalmist. Psalm 96 is also found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23 to 33. This is when the Ark of God was brought into Jerusalem, and it was brought to be put into the tent prepared by David. And David appointed Levites to continue to give praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. They pray and sang the words of Psalm 96. Psalm 96 was later used to dedicate the second temple when the Jews returned from exile from Babylon. So, worship. This is an unchangeable and unnegotiable foundation. The heart of worship must be focused on who? The heart of worship must be focused on God and God alone. And worship is about who? Worship is about God. Three times in this chapter, we are commanded to sing to the Lord. Verse 1 and verse 2. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Worship is about God. It's never about you. Say amen. It's not about how good you feel after you worshiping God. Oh, I feel so good. Have you heard people say that? It's not about how good you feel. It's not about the star, whether it's going to be hymn or praise, or it's going to be modern and contemporary. It's not about the music, whether it's going to be loud or soft or quick or fast. It's not about creating a state of the art and the first-class hype atmosphere of sound, of lightning, and smoke. One of the frightening things David Wilkinson wrote many years ago when I was teenagers, he said there are 10 things that the church have to be careful. And one of the things he said is that we can replace God's presence with man-made atmosphere. When I was a student in Tabor, we have a tutorial on worship. Pastor Aaron is also a student in Tabor, and he will be finishing his degree this year. You know, and in the tutorial on worship, we have a lady who was an ex-drug addict. And she shared her experience on worship. And she said this, when I was a druggie, I know what is it to have a fix and to feel high. And I when I have the fix, I feel good. But you know, of course, she didn't say the effect after that. Then she shared, now that I become a Christian, I have attained worship that is very hyper. I have the same feeling of feeling high and feeling good. Here's a Bible student sharing her experience of worship. And that really shocked me because I said, how is it worship is supposed to be? It's never supposed to be there. Is always about God. The heart of worship focuses on God and God alone. We're singing to the Lord. It's not singing for self-enjoyment like karaoke or singing to entertain others or singing to drown your sorrow. It is singing to the Lord and blessing the Lord. David the worshipper. When he is up, he wrote and sang. When he is down, he wrote and sang. When nothing happened, he wrote and sang. When something happened, he wrote and sang. Every song that David wrote and sang focused on God, about God, and to who? To God. You may not be able to write songs, but you can sing. Say amen to that. You can sing. And you can sing a new song focusing on God. Verse 1 commands us, sing a new song to the Lord. What is this new song? Does it mean that every time when we come here on a Sunday morning, the worship leader has to lead us to a new song? Is that called a new song? When I sing out of key or when I sing out of tune, is that a new song? What is a new song? A new song, maybe an old song, but you sing it with freshness, with a new sense of meaning, with a new sense of power, with a new sense of experience. It is an old song, but you sing it because you realize that something has taken place in your heart, His blessing, His grace, His providence, His victory, and He has empowered you to sing an old song as if it is a new song with new faith, new meaning, and new power. I remember many years ago when I was sick, standing there. And we all like this song, Water is Turned into Wine. It's a nice song. When you came to the part, Our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God, you are higher than any other. God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, I was standing there and I was going through a tough time. Only my wife and Pastor Kara knows what I was going through. Sometimes as pastor, you don't want to share with people what you're going through. You don't want to frighten people. But when I was standing there that morning, while the worship was on, when I sang this song and the words, God, you are stronger, you are more powerful, you are greater. I told you, I break in tears because God, I really need you. Because that morning when I sang the song, it was a new power, a new faith, a new strength that came into my being to believe that whatever I'm going through, God will make a way, God will give me a miracle, God will deliver me. This is what it means, singing a new song. You know, we all talk about Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. We quote this word very easily. For His mercy is what? New every morning. We all quote that scripture. For His mercy is new every morning. Tell me one thing. This morning, how will your worship be when you understand His mercy is new every morning? Let me say, I'm standing here right now. No matter what my world is, no matter what I'm going through, I'm standing here and I'm singing this song with new mercy. How will you sing it? You will sing it differently, won't you? So the Bible tells us it's about God. And we sing to Him. We worship God. We focus on Him and on God alone. And here are four focus that you must have when you worship God. The first focus is focus on God's acts. Proclaim the good news of salvation from day to day. Declare the glory among the nation, His wonder among all people. When you focus on the act of God, what God has done, when you think about what God has done for you, it must stir your heart. Stir your heart, move your lips, and you should break forth with singing to the Lord and bless His name. The act of God. Say, when you focus, proclaim on the good news of His salvation day to day, not just on the Sunday morning, day to day. And when David talked about proclaim, you think about what he has done about his salvation day to day. Here is where there is a difference between how the New Testament picture of salvation and the Old Testament picture of salvation. The New Testament picture of salvation is deliverance, deliverance from the consequences of sin, of death and Satan. Deliverance from this present wrath and the coming wrath by believing in Christ, having forgiveness of sin, a new life in Christ, and becoming a child of God. There is salvation in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the picture of salvation is to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from real, live, concrete situation. Like God delivered Israel from the enemy, from the hostile nation that comes around them. They came to wanting to conquer, to destroy, and to enslave them. But God fight for Israel. And God was their defender. God intervened. God stepped in. He delivered them with his strong arm. As we sang this morning, the battle belongs to who? The battle belongs to God. Through God, David delivered Israel from Goliath. Through God, Jonathan and his armor bearer deliver Israel from the Philistine. Through God, Hezekiah deliver Israel from the cruel and the mighty Assyrian army. What God has done for Israel is called what? Salvation. Because this salvation, this deliverance is concrete. It is life-threatening. It is real-life situation. God deliver and set and save them. Now with a heart of worship, they are to proclaim his salvation every day, declare his glory and his wonders. This morning when we stand here, think about the act of God. If it's not because of him, would you still be alive? If it's not because of him, would you have been saved? If it's not because of him, what will your marriage be? What will your family be? What will your life be? When you think about the act of God, of what he has done, his blessing, his salvation, his wondrous air, may your heart break forth with singing and blessing the Lord for his act, for what he did for you. And may you sing an old song, like a new song to the Lord with your heart of worship. Amen. So I focus on God's act when I stand there. I focus on God because it's all about God. I focus on his act. Then what do? I focus on God's greatness. Verse 4 to verse 6. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared of all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord makes the heaven. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. The heart of worship focuses on God's greatness. When you see how God is, how great God is, it must stir a wow factor in your soul and cause praises to flow out of your heart and your mouth. Wow, God, you are so great. And praises begin to come forth. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. People see the seven wonders of our world. If you have visited them, their expression is what? Wow. When I put my foot first time on the Great Wall of China, I saw the largeness and the hugeness of the wall. And of course, it was tourist time, and there are so many tourists at the whole wall. You see all tourists everywhere. When I saw that, how big. They said that the rocket that goes up to the moon, they could even see the Great Wall of China. When I stand there, my mouth just opened. Wow. The same feeling when I saw Alaska with all the ice and the beauty. Wow. We need to return to the wow factor when we see the greatness of God. Say amen to that. David, the sweet psalmist, when he saw the sky, the moon, the sun, the stars in their position, because all of them is set in the right position. Anything, if the sun is too near or too far, the moon is too near or too far, we all be dead. He saw all that, and he see the star shining, everyone praising God like God would tell Abraham. He see all this. The greatness of God captured his heart, and his only expression was, wow. And he put it in this word, O Lord, our God, your majesty name fills the earth. David knew the wow factors of God's greatness. There is none greater than our God. He is higher than all gods. He is stronger than all gods. He is greater than anything you could ever think or imagine. When you think about God's greatness, does it give you the wow factor? Last week, Sister Marie called me to update me about how she is. We know that she has gone through a very tough time in an operation. She's recovering. She would share with you, it was touch and go for her. And she is so thankful to God. And she said this to me, Pastor, I don't have any family in Australia. The church is my family. And the church has prayed for me, and the church has come around me. I want to thank those sisters that have been cooking for her. God bless you all. It really stirred her heart, you know, because he recognized we serve a great God. When you see God's graciousness, his mercy, his goodness being expressed by God's people, it should make you not cry. It should make you say, wow, God, you are so great. David compared God's greatness with the God of this world, the God of this age, and the God of his days. And he said, the God of his days are idols. They are man-made. They have eyes, cannot see, ears, cannot hear, mouth, cannot talk, hand, cannot touch, nose, cannot smell, feet, cannot walk. And these idols are all powerless and nothing and worthless. And when you compare this to God, they cannot be compared. They cannot even come close to the living God who is great and greatly to be praised. When you focus on the greatness of God, you see his grandness, his magnificence, the splendor, the strength, the security, and the beauty of God. May he create the wow factor in your heart. God is great. He is most worthy of praises. This morning, ask God, when you are standing here worshiping him, to stir your heart with a wow factor when you worship him. When you focus on God's greatness, may you see how small your need is. Your problem, your trouble, in comparison to the greatness of God. He must be praised and feared with a heart of worship. The third focus, focus on God's worthiness. Verse 7 to verse 9. Give to the Lord, O family of the earth. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. All worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. When you focus on God's act, what do? You sing. When you focus on God's greatness, what do? You praise Him. Now, we go deeper into the heart of worship. Here is where you focus on God's worthiness. You worship Him when you see God who is worthy, worthy of all things. You worship Him. Worship the Lord in all His holy splendor. To worship God is to recognize He is worth it. He is worth everything. Is to recognize how worthy God is. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by you were they be created. Were they created and have their being. God, now I see how worthy you are. I worship you. I worship you. You are made. You are created to worship. The question is, who do you worship? What do you worship? You worship what is important to you, what you value most. And the only person worthy of your worship is God. Not things, not another person, and not you. When Israel praised the Lord, they lift up their hand. Whether they sing or they praise, they lift up their hand. But when they worship the Lord, they reverently bow down. They prostrate before the Lord, even to the extent that their face is on the ground. In the New Testament, worship comes from this word, to kiss the hand in the token of reverence. In the New Testament, it's a picture of a dog licking his master's hand. It's an image of absolute love and complete trust and devotion. So when you worship God, you are saying, God, you are worthy of all my love, all my attention, all my devotion. God, you are worthy to receive all that I can give you, O God. What it means to worship God. Three times, give is found in this verse. Give to the Lord. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory He deserves and bring an offering to Him. While you are worshiping God, what do you have to give to God? Is it your time, your attention, your resources, your service, your surrender, or your worship? Because whatever you give to God, and God is pleased with your gift, it is called what? Worship. When you focus on God's worthiness in worship, you tremble. You fear before Him. Because when you worship God, you recognize one thing. He is God and you are not. You see His beauty. And when you see that God is so beautiful, it must melt your ugliness, your bitterness. That you see God is so holy. You've been to a holy God. In the presence of a holy God, you will never be the same again. I want to tell you, the heart of worship is life-transforming worship. Anything less is just a good time with yourself and for yourself. You come and go the same. No transformation, just same you. So, true worship is life-transforming because you allow God to penetrate your thoughts and your mind and your heart. You put yourself into the spot where you say, God, soften my soul, soften my heart, examine me, God. Just align my life, oh God. So you come to a place where you slow down, Stop everything. Close all the windows, all the distraction, and you just focus on who God is and say, God, I ask you, transform this heart. Form and shape this heart of mine to be beautiful like you, to be holy like you. Without transformation in worship, all the jumping and stretching of hands and legs is like a workout at the gym. I've seen young people with the music jumping like kangaroo, whoa, whoa, whoa. But if there is no change, it's just going to the gym. All the singing is like having a karaoke. But true worshiper engaged with God worthiness for beauty and holiness transformation. This morning, engage with God worthiness when you worship Him. Focus on Him. Focus on the power of His presence, the power of His personhood, the power of the Holy Spirit, and allow Him to mold and to change your heart so that you have godly fear in the beauty of His holiness and in the beauty of God. I wonder what Christianity would be if we truly experience life-transforming worship, not just in Grace City Church, but in everywhere when they worship God. Lastly, you focus on God's act. You focus on God's greatness. You focus on God's worthiness. Now you come to the last focus. You focus on the King coming. Let's read from verse 10 to verse 11. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the earth rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the heaven rejoice and the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the wood will rejoice before God, for He is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. You have sang. You have praised. You have worshipped. Now the final focus to the heart of worship is to focus on the King coming. The King return. And when you focus on the King coming and the King return, it is with the spirit of rejoicing and gladness. Let the heaven rejoice and the earth be glad. Psalm 96 is a lawyer psalm. It's also called an enthronement psalm. So, being a lawyer psalm and an enthronement psalm, it simply declares God is king. King over history. This world has history since the beginning till now. Everything that happened in this world, the history is about who? It's about God's story writing into humans' life. So He is king over it. And He is king over the nation. And the Lord reigns. He created the world. And He said He is good and unshakable. What does He mean? The King who created say He reigns as King and King and Lord of Lords over the earth. He is unmovable and unshakable. It's quite a challenge for us. In the midst of this pandemic, the border is going to be open. You go to Uber and Coles, you find, wow, a lot of shelf is... In the midst of all this, can you say, the Lord reigns? In the midst of social injustice, a chaotic, evil, and corrupt world, we have to say, the Lord reigns. Amen. We have to say that in the midst of an anti-God, anti-church, and anti-Christian trust, we know the voting for religious, the bill for religious freedom has passed the lower house and now gone in past the upper house. In the midst of all this, we as God's people need to say, the Lord what? The Lord reign. In the midst of natural disaster, and some of the things that are happening in our world is beyond our imagination. Can we say, the Lord's reign? In the midst of famine in this world where there is so much, can we say the Lord reign? In the midst of wars and rumors of war, the news about Russia going to attack Ukraine and there may be a start of a third world war. All these things are recorded in Matthew chapter 24. And when you see all these things, Jesus said, don't be fearful. When you see all these things, know one thing. The Lord reigns and the King is coming. Amen. Amen. That is what we all need to look at. Not to see the trouble and get troubled. Not to see all this thing and get fearful and worried. We need to see that there is, beyond all this, the King is coming. He reigns. He reigns forevermore. He is the sovereign King. He is on the throne. The kingdom of God is above, is greater than the kingdom of this world. The Bible tells us very clearly, the kingdom of God is increasing. The kingdom of this world is diminishing. Very clearly. The picture of the statue in the book of Daniel, and the big stone came and knocked down all the big statue. Let me tell you, our God reigns. And this must be something very deep in your heart. Because if you don't believe our God reigns, you are in trouble. You will be sucking just like the world. So, when we see all these things, the heart of worship firstly declare, the Lord reigns. Second, the heart of worship rejoice that the King is coming. He is returning, coming as judge of the world. His judgment is righteous and fair. There is no impartiality with the judge. He will judge the world with justice and nation with truth. Evil and injustice punished. Lies and deception exposed. He is the righteous judge that will put and set everything right. His coming is the hope of creation since the fall. Paul put it this way. For we know that all creation has been growing as in the pain of a childbirth right up to this present time. But His coming, the sea will roar, the fields are joyful, the trees and the woods rejoice. It's the picture that His coming will bring redemption, His coming will bring restoration to our fallen world when He returns. All of creation, His church and His children waits for His coming. The hope of every believer since His ascension to sit at the right hand of the Father is this precious promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus has been taken from you into the heaven, but someday He will return from heaven in the same way you saw Him go. That's the hope of every believer. So we need a message that prepares us to live victoriously at this present time. We also need a message to prepare us of the King. Communion, where we have one part of it speaks of His coming, His return. And He's commanding us to be ready for His return. We rejoice that the King is coming. This morning, God desire and please with a heart of worship. The heart that focus on Him and Him alone. A heart that focus on His act with singing. Focus on His greatness with praise. Focus on His worthiness with worship. And focus with His coming rejoicing. And when that happens, may your heart be transformed like His heart. His heart become our heart. Worship Him, can you come? We're going to sing this powerful song. I was going to tell Robin, hey, I'm preaching on heart of worship. He doesn't know what I was going to preach. Can you pick this song, that song? But I leave it to him. I'm glad he picked up the song. When you don't tell the song leader what you're going to preach and they pick up songs so tied up to the sermon, you say, wow, God, it's wonderful. Why don't we stand up? The heart of worship. That's what God wants in each one of us. Worship is about God. Focusing on God. It's to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing this song first.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from You all our lives, and to You all our thoughts. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. Arise, day and night. love it all. Come on, just your voices, let's lift up to Him. You are worthy of it all. Hallelujah. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Come on, one more time. Let's sing it out.
You are worthy of it all. Jesus, you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Hallelujah, Lord, you are so worthy to be praised, God. You are so worthy to be worshipped, Lord Jesus. You alone deserve all our worship. You alone deserve all our praises, God. Hallelujah. We praise your name forever and ever. Every tongue confess that you are God.
Creator of all things. He is our Lord, our Savior, our King. Worship Him. Focus on who He is. Focus on His act. Focus on His greatness. Focus on His worthiness. Focus on His coming. May your heart, when you are in God's presence, may your heart be changed and transformed. Every ugliness, bitterness, let it be melted by the sweetness of Jesus. Let His holiness impact you. God, when I worship, stir my heart. Stir my heart. Your greatness. Stir my heart to your worthiness. Stir my heart to rejoice that you are the coming King. The injustice that I face, the unfairness, the bad treatment, God, you will make it right because you are the King. I want to live my life with my head up, saying, God reigns. No matter what is happening around the world, around my world, I want to say, my God reigns. He is in control. He is still on the throne. He will deliver. He will help me. He will come in the time that I need Him. In the meantime, I'm going to sing, I'm going to praise, I'm going to worship, I'm going to rejoice in Him. Lord, I pray, cultivate a heart of worship in each one of us. You're looking for true worshiper that worship you in spirit and in truth. Cultivate their heart in each one of us, so that our worship, God, becomes life transforming. So that our worship of God declare your salvation, declare your glory. I'm Lord. May our worship be so focused on you and you alone. I ask this, O God. as you transform Grace City Church into the house of prayer and worship. They will bring day and night and night and day, oh God, incense that you are pleased with. I ask this in Jesus' name, and God's people say, Amen.